Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, December 6th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Central Illinois Native Among Pallbearers at Bush Funeral, by Kevin Barlow. Monticello. Among President George H.W. Bush's pallbearers on Wednesday was Captain Chris Blanchard, a Central Illinois native who serves with the Old Guard, a historic Army unit that serves as the President's ceremonial escort. "It is definitely a huge honor to be able to pay your respect in this way," said Blanchard, who could be seen standing at the head of the casket, which also was flanked by six pallbearers from the various armed services. The former Deland Weldon High School student enlisted in the Illinois National Guard after graduating from Monticello High School in 2005. He attended Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville and was commissioned from there into the Army in 2009. He serves in the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment. Founded in 1784, it is the oldest active-duty infantry unit in the Army. In addition to providing security for Washington, D.C., the unit serves as the honor guard for events such as White House ceremonies and state funerals. Members guard the Tomb of the Unknowns and provide funeral escorts at Arlington National Cemetery. "I was a company commander out of Fort Lewis, Washington, and I applied to come out to what they call the Old Guard in Washington, D.C.," he said. He previously was a pallbearer for Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, who died August 25th. "We were informed Saturday morning about the passing of President Bush, and so we began preparations immediately," he said. While the company practices their routines all year long, they review and practice several more times to ensure that they are professional and no mistakes are made. The funeral and procession were witnessed by thousands and viewed by millions on television. "You are super nervous until it's go time," he said. "Then your training just kicks in and you do your best." Blanchard said his role at funerals has given him occasions to reflect on his own life and the people in it. "You think about your grandparents and your parents, for sure," he said. "They were such huge role models for me, and you just think about all of the lessons you learned from them and how they played a part in getting you to this point." "I've taken lessons from all of them, as well as other family members," he said. "You take those lessons, you apply them, and then you work hard." Married with two girls at home, Blanchard said he is trying to save as many pictures of the funeral as he can. He is anxious to tell his stories to his daughters. "I want to keep them all and show them their father," he said. "They will probably be surprised at how young I look, but I think it will be something they can be proud of as well." After the funeral was over, Blanchard admitted to being exhausted. "It's mentally exhausting and kind of how you feel in the fourth quarter of a football game," he said. "But the amount of pride and support you received from friends and family, and of course your friends in the Army, is amazing. You just want to do the best you can." Blanchard didn't get the chance to meet the president's family. "They stand right behind you, and it is an amazing feeling to be that close," he said. "But we have a job to do. We have to be professional and keep our minds on what we are doing." The next story is headlined, Bloomington Man, 20, Fatally Shot, Friends Mourn at Vigil, by Kevin Barlow and Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. A 20-year-old Bloomington man was fatally shot early Wednesday on the city's west side, and 12 hours later, friends gathered at the scene for a vigil to mourn him. Police were called to the 800 block of West Jefferson Street at 4:45 a.m. for a report of a man being shot. Edgerton Dover was later pronounced dead at the scene by McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis. His death was the 11th homicide in the Twin Cities in 2018. Police said no arrests were made. As they continued to investigate through the day, word of Dover's death spread among his friends and plans for the vigil emerged. He surrounded himself with a lot of support, a lot of positivity, said Trevown McGee, Dover's friend of 9 years. He never came in negative. You'd never see him not smiling. He had a bright smile. McGee planned the vigil quickly, spreading the word on Facebook before the McLean County Coroner's Office released Dover's name late Wednesday afternoon. Somebody like that leaving my life, it hurt, he said. I wanted people to come together and let everybody know that's the type of person he was. Dover, a graduate of University High School in Normal, was genuine, honest, and outgoing, and always wanted to make sure everyone around him was happy, McGee said, and that was reflected in the crowd Wednesday night. If it weren't so cold, more people likely would have come out because Dover had an impact on so many, McGee said. Despite the winter chill and darkness, dozens stood in Dover's front yard for more than an hour. They stood in near silence, embracing each other and wiping away tears. Just beyond the police tape, still wrapped around the house, candles and tea lights spelled R.I.P. on the front steps. Half a block away, the same letters were drawn in the snow. It's so much good, like there's nothing bad you could ever say about him, 20-year-old McGee said. Even if you had to sit there and think about bad stuff to say about him, you couldn't figure it out. That's how nice he was and genuine. Dover played football for the U-High Pioneers. He graduated in 2016 and went on to record music videos and take photos for aspiring musicians in the area. Police had not released any details about the shooting as of Wednesday night, but a friend at the vigil said Dover was shooting a video when it happened. Dominique Stevenson prayed with those at the vigil and asked God to bring peace to the streets of Bloomington Normal. We can't let our city get out of control like everywhere else is, but it's up to the people, Stevenson said. As police worked at the scene earlier in the day, neighbors discussed crime in their neighborhood. We have a lot of crime in this neighborhood, and always have, said Charlene Tilson, who lives on nearby Howard Street. For a murder, though, it is just so sad. My heart breaks for the family of whoever it was. Her friend, Janet Watson, said she was surprised by the fact that the crime scene wasn't attracting much attention. I hope that people aren't getting used to the fact that people are dying in our streets, she said. Bless the soul of the person who died, but this has got to stop. Anyone with information about the homicide is asked to contact Detective Steve Finelli at 309-434-2457. Or sfinelli at cityblm.org, or Detective Jared Roth at 309-434-2379, or jroth at cityblm.org. If you want to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. The next article is entitled, Two Dead After Unit 5 Team Bus Semi Crash Head-On on I-74 by Derek Bay and Roger Miller. Bloomington. Two men were killed and 9 people injured late Wednesday when a semi-trailer truck heading the wrong way on Interstate 74 collided head-on with a school bus carrying a Normal West basketball team. State police said the semi-driver and an adult male bus passenger died of injuries suffered in the crash that was reported at 8:32 p.m. at mile marker 137 on westbound I-74. That is about 2 miles east of the Main Street exit on Bloomington's south side. Unit 5 is devastated to share that Normal West volunteer Charlie Crabtree, age 72, died as a result of the bus crash tonight, McLean County Unit 5 officials posted on their Facebook page. Please keep the Crabtree family and the entire Normal West community in your thoughts. State police identified Crabtree but did not release the name of the semi-driver, a 34-year-old Iowa man, saying his next of kin had not been notified early Thursday. State police also said 8 girls on the bus and a male bus passenger also were taken to hospitals with injuries that were not life-threatening. The Peoria and McLean County coroner's offices did not respond to requests for comment. The junior varsity girls basketball team was returning from a game at Champaign Central. Stan Lewis, Normal West athletic director, told the Pantograph shortly after the crash. "Whenever you hear there's a bus accident, your stomach stops and you just hope everyone is okay," said Unit 5 spokeswoman Dana Brown, of how administrators reacted when they first heard about the incident. "That wasn't the case tonight. We never want that to be the story we have to tell." Brown was at Normal West, where counselors were on hand to offer comfort and support to the dozens of parents, relatives, and others who gathered to await news. As word of the crash spread on social media, Unit 5 directed parents and friends to go to the school to wait for news. "People care about each other in this school and this community, and I think they just wanted to be together during this horrible tragedy. We can't thank this community enough for their support," said Brown of those who gathered at Normal West. "We will be sure that everyone is supported in anything they need tomorrow." Brown said Normal West will be open as usual Thursday, but counselors will be on hand. "It is our freshman team, but we only have a handful of freshmen who aren't also up on the varsity," Lewis told the Pantograph. "There were some JV players who went with them." 3 adults, a coach and both drivers, were flown from the scene by medical transport helicopter to OSF Healthcare St. Francis Medical Center, Peoria, state police said Wednesday night. Police later listed the semi-driver as deceased. "I'm heading to Peoria because I know one of our coaches is being airlifted there," Lewis said. "I think the kids were being treated at Bloomington Normal Hospitals." OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center listed 4 people in good condition late Wednesday night. Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal confirmed receiving people from the crash, but did not confirm their number or conditions. State police said the semi was eastbound in the westbound lanes when the crash occurred. Initial reports indicated the police had received calls of warning of the wrong-way truck shortly before the crash. "Currently, the crash remains an open and ongoing investigation," Master Sergeant Ryan Cape said via email after the crash, adding that multiple investigators from state police, the Illinois Department of Transportation, and other agencies were called to the scene. All westbound traffic was diverted off I-74 at the Downs exit and onto US 150 and back onto I-74 via Main Street. State police estimated the highway would reopen within a few hours. Hundreds of comments poured into Unit 5's Facebook page, offering prayers and support to those involved in the crash. McLean County Sheriff's Police confirmed they and police from Downs and Leroy were assisting state police at the scene. The next story is headlined, "Insurance claims from storms top $1.5K. Residents urged to report any tornado, wind, hail damage," by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. State Farm and Country Financial have received more than 1,500 homeowner and auto insurance claims from the wave of tornadoes, damaging winds, hail, and heavy rain over the weekend. As of Wednesday, State Farm had received about 540 homeowner claims and about 400 auto claims from the impacted areas, said spokesman Dave Olofsson. He said the statistics are not broken down by county or city. "State Farm is responding to our customers' needs in the impacted areas and we are seeing damage concentrations in Christian County and additional areas hit by severe weather, Olofsson said via email. Country Financial spokesman Chris Stroich said the Bloomington-based insurer had received 584 auto and property claims statewide, with 220 of those coming from Taylorville. Three claims have been received from McLean County, where four tornadoes touched down in rural areas near Leroy, Colfax, and Ellsworth. The most common types of claims we're seeing is from tornado, wind, and hail damage, he said in an email. The latest figures from the National Weather Service confirm that 27 tornadoes touched down in Illinois on Saturday, the largest December tornado outbreak in the state's history. The previous record was 21 tornadoes on December 18th to 19th, 1957. The most severe of the tornadoes, rated EF3, hit Taylorville about 5 p.m. Saturday, severely damaging or destroying 34 homes, causing major damage to 66 homes, and leaving 406 homes damaged but inhabitable. Both Country Insurance and Bloomington-based State Farm are encouraging their customers to report their claims as soon as possible. About 30 Country Financial claims adjusters have been assigned to Taylorville, and the company has set up a temporary claims office there. The temporary office at the Christian County Farm Bureau, 400 West Market Street, Taylorville, is open daily from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Country Financial customers can visit that office, call 866-COUNTRY, 866-268-6879, or go to www.countryfinancial.com to start the claims process, said Stroich. State Farm policyholders can submit claims through their agent by calling 800-SF-CLAIM, that is 800-732-5246, using State Farm's mobile app or through its website, www.statefarm.com/claims. If they had to make emergency repairs to their home or car, they should submit receipts to their claims adjusters, said Stroich. Plus, they should provide photos of any damaged property to their adjuster as well. State Farm also suggests taking pictures of damaged property, keeping notes, and using an inventory list to help adjusters assess damage. State Farm recommends contacting licensed vendors for repair estimates and making sure the estimates are signed by the vendor and approved by your adjuster or agent before having major damage repaired. The next story is entitled, Arena Defendant Seeks Dismissal of Charges, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Two of four former management officials of the city-owned arena were in court Wednesday on charges related to alleged financial misconduct. Five former management-level staff members of what was known as U.S. Cellular Coliseum were indicted in September 2017 on a total of 111 charges related to the 10 years Central Illinois Arena Management handled operations of the downtown sports and entertainment venue. SIAM's contract to manage what is now Grossinger Motors Arena ended in March 2016. Kelly Klein of Normal, former SIAM Assistant General Manager of Finance, is charged with theft and money laundering. Defense lawyer Joel Brown filed a motion to dismiss charges against Klein. Associate Judge Michael Stroh set a January 11th hearing on Klein's motion. Brown told a judge in November that talks with the state to resolve the criminal case had produced no results. Klein's lawyer said he would be filing a series of pretrial motions ahead of an anticipated trial. Bart Rogers of Morton also was in court Wednesday for a status hearing on theft charges. Stephanie Wong, the defense lawyer for the former general manager of SIAM, was given documents she requested in a subpoena to the city of Bloomington. Wong requested 2 months to review what she estimated would be thousands of records from the city. Rogers will be back in court February 6th. Jay Lesh of Hayworth, the former director of BMI Concessions, pleaded guilty in November to money laundering and filing a fraudulent sales tax return, and was sentenced to 30 months on probation and fined $1. His plea deal requires him to cooperate with the state and testify at the trials of his co-defendants if requested by the state. In a statement of facts to support the plea agreement, the state characterized Lesh as a middleman who did not benefit financially from the alleged scheme conducted by other defendants. John Y. Butler of Bloomington, Siam president, faces theft, money laundering, wire fraud, and tax-related charges. Butler has a December 20th hearing on a motion to suppress evidence. The defense has argued state police improperly seized documents outside the scope approved by a judge in a search warrant. Paul Grazer of Normal, the former food and beverage director for Siam, is charged with theft, money laundering, and tax offenses. All four remaining defendants are free on bond. And the next article is entitled, Judge Orders Phone Visits for Father, Son. Lawyers in Custody Battle Told Tug of War Over Child Must End. By Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. A judge ordered parents embroiled in an interstate custody battle to begin the process of setting up telephone visits between the father in Massachusetts and the child who lives with his mother in Normal, after consultation with the boy's counselor. In his first hearing after being appointed to the case, Judge Charles Feeney told lawyers for Michael Cadena and Amber Buck on Wednesday that he expects progress in the case that started 4 years ago when Cadena filed for custody of Mikey, now four. This case needs to move forward and come to a conclusion, said the judge. Feeney told Cadena's lawyer, Adele Saff, that her client's refusal to return to Illinois must end if the case is going to be resolved. Saff has argued against contempt of court findings and sanctions that include 6 months in jail for Cadena if he ever returns to Illinois. Earlier this year, Cadena sought to have the case moved from McLean County to Weymouth, Massachusetts, where he has lived since he took the child from Illinois in March 2017 without permission from the court. A Massachusetts judge declined to move the case to Massachusetts. An appeal is pending of that decision. A similar attempt to move the case to federal court in Peoria also failed. Cadena spent 2 weeks in jail in Massachusetts on direct criminal contempt charges imposed by McLean County Associate Judge Lee Ann Hill after Cadena failed to appear in court despite 6 court orders. He was released after Buck went to Massachusetts and picked up the child. Feeney granted a request from Saff to start the process to establish telephone contact between the child and his father. The two have not spoken since the child left Massachusetts with his mother in early October. Feeney also advised lawyers that the tug of war over the child that has included posting video of him on social media must end. This child has been a bit of a pawn. What's clear is that the child had no control over the chess game, said Feeney, who took over the case from Hill, who was retiring. The case initially filed by Cadena has attracted a massive following on social media as people weigh in on the merits of the father's allegations against Buck. Cadena has accused the mother of physically and emotionally abusing the child during the time the boy lived with her. Videos of a tearful Mikey at the Weymouth police station shortly before he was reunited with his mother drew ire from social media watchers who assumed the boy was upset at the prospect of seeing his mother. Buck's lawyer, Tristan Bullington, contends the child was exhausted from being passed from house to house by Cadena's relatives in an effort to avoid Buck picking up the child after she was given temporary custody. The visits will begin after lawyers consult with the child's counselor, who has advised against visits at this time, according to Bullington. The child's relocation has been a very difficult, confusing situation, said Bullington. Telephone visits, which may include a video component, may not be recorded by either parent or anyone else, including counselors for the child, who are expected to supervise the visits, said the judge. The judge agreed with Bullington that a lawyer should be appointed to act as a guardian ad litem on behalf of the child. Both parents have a history of drug use and lost custody of the boy for periods of time because of drug charges. Buck is on probation on drug charges. Kadena was given custody of the child in February 2017 and left the state a month later. Here's a story entitled, Special Prosecutor Asked to Weigh In on Result of Macon County Sheriff's Race, by Ryan Voiles. Decatur. Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott has asked the Illinois Attorney General's Office to appoint a special prosecutor to provide legal advice regarding the fallout from the sheriff's election. The petition for the appointment of a special prosecutor comes after the Macon County Republican Party sent a letter to the Macon County Clerk's Office requesting the clerk, the local election authority, reverse the results of the November 6th election that saw Democrat Tony Brown defeat Republican Jim Root by a single vote, 19,655 to 19,654. Republican officials point to two uncounted ballots, both for Root, that should have been counted by November 20th, when provisional and mail-in ballots were added to the overall total. If they had been counted then, Republicans argue, Root, not Brown, would currently be sheriff. Root had held a 99-vote advantage when votes were counted on November 6th. Brown and Root are both lieutenants in the sheriff's department. Root said Monday he will not be commenting on the matter for the time being. Brown, who began his duties as sheriff Saturday, said after Monday's county board meeting that he views the election results as final and will continue as sheriff unless the courts tell him otherwise. In a filing provided to the Decatur Herald and Review by State's Attorney Jay Scott, the county argues that appointing a special prosecutor would prevent any conflict of interest or appearance of impropriety regarding the matter. Local and state officials have previously said it would be up to the court to change the results of the election, but the Republican request cites a part of the Illinois Election Code that covers how ballots are tabulated as evidence for why the results should be reversed without the need for a court order. Scott said Tuesday that his office has already been in contact with the Illinois Attorney General's office, but the petition was a formal way to have outside legal counsel weigh in. We'll let someone independent come in and make the decision, Scott said, adding he did not know how long it may take for a special prosecutor to be appointed. Macon County Republican Party Chairman Bruce Pillsbury said he applauded Scott's decision and looked forward to a resolution. This is new to everyone, and I think we've got a pretty strong case, but we'll leave it to the proper authorities on how it's handled, Pillsbury said. Macon County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Underwood did not return a message seeking comment. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for December 6th. Please stay tuned.